Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, film editor for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me is Las Vegas Weekly associate editor Ken Miller. Thank you for being here.
Nice to be here.
So on this edition of the podcast, we are talking about HBO and sort of the state of HBO's original programming at the moment. HBO has been getting a lot of attention thanks to Game of Thrones, which premiered last week and has already been picked up for a second season. So obviously the network is really confident in what's going on with this show. And I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I know, Ken, that you loved it. And it was, in fact, your inspiration for resubscribing to HBO when you had given up. So obviously you must really be enthused about
this show. It really is funny. I mean, when we talked about first doing this podcast, I didn't have HBO, but I had it long enough where I felt I could contribute to this conversation because I've seen most of their shows over the years. But I had been so frustrated with the quality or lack of quality of programming that we dropped it. And shortly after that, you gave me the screener for Game of Thrones so that I would have something to talk about for this podcast. Well, my wife and I ended up becoming absolutely addicted to this show. And after we were done, we picked up the phone and call our Dish Network and said, we want HBO.
So that's a pretty ringing endorsement.
To me, it's that good. I mean, it's worth having the channel back.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I mean, I do like it. And we should say, you and I, we've seen the first six episodes
Correct.
Of this show, and it's only a 10-episode season. So we've seen more than half of the current season. And I mean, I like it. And I'm a sort of a genre fan, so I think it's cool that they're doing a fantasy show on HBO, that's the kind of thing that maybe would usually be relegated to the Sci-Fi Channel or something, and that they're putting all of the weight of HBO in terms of their brand and also in terms of the money that they can spend on producing a TV show behind this genre. But at the same time, I thought it was trying maybe a little too hard to be HBO-y. Like, they were almost a little ashamed of having a fantasy show. And to be fair, the novels by George R. R. Martin that the show is based on are, I think, and I haven't read them, but from what I know, I think they're a little more realistic, a little more grounded than maybe a typical fantasy novel. So, but there was so much emphasis on, like, political dealings and betrayals and alliances and things like that. At times I thought it was a little tedious, and I was like, when will someone cast a spell? Where are the dragons? Which I know are coming later, but they haven't gotten there yet.
Well, this is interesting because when I first started watching the show, I was almost kind of the opposite of you in that I don't know if our listeners have seen the first episode, but the first 10-minute sequence of this film is a supernatural event.
Right.
And when I first saw that, I was thinking, well, I'm not sure if I'm really going to enjoy this because I'm not a huge Lord of the Rings fan. I really, that genre to me, it seems so drawn out and tired. I just feel like there's not a lot left for me to really enjoy in that genre. I could be wrong. But once that scene was over and the political intrigue began, that's when I got hooked. I mean, to me, even if there's no mythical creatures coming, I'm still going to watch this show because I love the way this show is structured because I feel like I'm getting to know all the characters really well.
Yeah.
Even though there are tons of characters
in
the show.
I mean, it's definitely hard to keep track of even after six episodes, some of these characters. I was wondering, who is this person and why are they important?
Well, correct. But to me, they're so vividly portrayed in the dialogue. The dialogue is, I will admit, a bit simplistic.
There's a lot of exposition, which there has to be.
I think it's a bit simplistic, but by the same token, if you haven't read the books like I haven't, I mean, you almost kind of need that. And so, you know, once you get past that, I found myself caring about these characters. I thought, you know, after the first episode, I thought, you know, this is really going to be dramatic. I mean, this is really going to be, you know, grab me. And it did.
Right.
There's not a lot of moments of violence in this show, but when they happen, for me, they had maximum impact. I mean, they grabbed me.
Yeah.
I actually felt a visceral connection because I feel like I know these characters and what they're going through. So, I mean, I'm kind of on the opposite end. I actually hope it continues in this way because I loved Rome and it kind of reminds me a little bit of
Rome.
Yeah,
it's very historical. I think that's one of the things, though. It's like, well, in order – and maybe this isn't the TV producers doing or HBO's doing, but almost the idea that like, well, fantasy isn't serious enough. So in order to be serious and real, we need to have this sort of historical influence and style going on. And I never liked Rome. So
Well, okay.
But I don't want to sound like I don't like this show because I do like it. And I think one of the things you mentioned, like the violent scenes, I think that's one of the things that they do well with the balance, that if you're feeling like, oh my God, I can't handle another meeting of advisors to the king, then something exciting and unexpected will happen. And that'll draw you right back into the story. And definitely over the course of six episodes, as I got to know the characters better, I was more invested in what happened. Mm-hmm. I do wonder, too, about the copious nudity and sex scenes, which seemed to me like another sort of look, it's premium cable, look what we can do kind of thing. Not that I don't enjoy seeing, naked, attractive people, but it seemed like maybe a little trying too hard.
Yeah, apart from Deadwood, probably the most family unfriendly show ever on HBO. I guess for me, I don't really pay much attention to it because I know I'm watching HBO and I kind of know that anything goes.
Sure.
Short of, well.
Just because anything goes doesn't mean that anything has to go.
Well, true, but I think that a lot of it services the plot because, like, well, for example, you got Peter Dinklage's character, the son of the king,
right,
who's a dwarf.
Well, he's not. He's the brother of the queen.
Sorry. These things are hard
to keep track of.
thank you. You're correct. But, you know, Scene is kind of, you know, a lesser person. So it has a little more fun with life than the other characters do.
Right.
Because he knows he can get away with it. And as a result, he's always in whorehouses. I mean, he's always, you know, he's doing his thing. And I mean, in that part of the plot, it's like, well, that's what happens. That's, you know, you're in a whorehouse. That's
sure,
what's going to happen.
Sure, sure.
I don't know. I suppose, you know, some people might have a problem with it, but not once did I ever wince or have a problem with anything going on screen.
Yeah, so. I don't know. I mean, I just maybe it's a matter of sort of finding a better balance that they haven't quite gotten to yet. And maybe as it goes on or in the second season, it'll have a better equilibrium. But overall, I think I do like it. I'm not sure that I would go so far as to say that you should get HBO just to watch this show. But if you have HBO, you should definitely watch it. And if you don't have HBO, you can probably watch it on DVD later and it would be worth your time.
Right. Although my feeling is that everyone's going to be talking about this show and you're going to feel like you're being left out if you don't have it. I think a lot of people probably.
Peer pressure will necessitate that you get HBO.
I think a lot of people will be tuning into this show.
I mean, obviously, yes, that's certainly true. People have been talking about it a lot. And it's interesting to me because sort of HBO's other big original series that's going on right now, in fact, the second season premieres this week, I think people don't really talk about, and that's David Simon's Tremé, which takes place in New Orleans. It's the follow-up to Simon's acclaimed and really, really excellent HBO series, The Wire. And we've both seen the first season of Tremé, and I've seen the first episode of the second season that's airing this week. And as much as I loved The Wire, I feel like Tremé is so boring and so dull and uneventful that I really wish I liked it, but I just can't get into it, even despite the solid acting and the interesting idea. It just doesn't work for me.
I keep wondering as I watch this show, Tremé, whether I would enjoy it more had it not been from the guy who gave us The Wire. Because, I mean, you and I were just talking about this before the podcast. The Wire, for me, is the best thing ever on HBO. I've seen pretty much everything. That's tops for me. I mean, if you haven't seen The Wire, go out and get it.
Absolutely.
Trust me.
One of the greatest TV shows of all time.
Will not regret it. So when I watch Tremé, all I can think of is, you know, what happened? I mean, where's the momentum of the plot? Where's the detail? I mean, I feel like David Simon definitely has a good eye for what happened in New Orleans after Katrina. I think he definitely nails the mood. But the problem is that worth a show? That's the question.
Right.
There's not a lot of characters in this show that I really care about is the problem. I feel like I'm just watching a documentary about various people, but I don't feel connected to almost any of them.
Right. And I think
Steve Zahn is one of the only characters that I feel is actually a real tangible, like, entertaining character.
Right.
Everyone else just seems so dour and unfriendly and upset and bitter. You know, and it just, I mean, I've seen the whole first season, haven't watched the second season yet, but it just seems like by the end of the first season, there would be some kind of transition for some characters, some kind of epiphany for some characters.
Right.
Oh, John Goodman is another one. It's like, wow, talk about an unlikable character.
And I mean, his character is one of the only ones in that first season that really does have, and I don't want to ruin for people who might watch it later, but who really does have a big change at the end of that first season.
Right. But does nothing to take away the dour taste of the show is the problem.
Right.
I guess I'm not saying I want people to be dancing in the streets, but I just feel like
there are people dancing in the streets on that show.
Well, because it's tradition, not because they're happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't feel like, I don't feel like the show is really going anywhere for me is the problem. I'll probably continue to watch it, but I don't. Like I say, I just don't feel a connection here. And I don't – there's never a moment in the show where I really feel lost in the show. I'm always acutely aware I'm watching a David Simon drama that I'm not completely involved in.
Yeah. No, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think on the one hand, it's good that Simon didn't try to make a show that was just like The Wire except in a different city, because I think that would have been a disaster and everyone would have been thinking – well, they did this better on The Wire. They did that better on The Wire. So to do this show that is really not, I mean, there are characters who are involved in local politics and who are involved in law enforcement. And actually in the second season, David Morse's character, who was in a couple episodes in the first season, he's playing a police officer. He's now a regular in the second season. So there's definitely going to be more of the local law enforcement aspect to it.
I noticed I think John Seda is also in the
season. They've added John Seda as a new character.
Who I love him as an actor. I think he's fantastic. So I'll be anxious to see what role he plays.
And it's sort of hard to tell in that first episode where his character is going to go. And he's really the only new one. They've added David Morse, who we've seen before, and also the young woman who plays John Goodman's daughter, who was a recurring character in the first season, is now a more central character. So they've made little adjustments, but for the most part, it's the same kind of show. And I think, but one of the things you mentioned that's really important is that because it's not plot driven at all, I mean, in fact, there's virtually no plot to any of these episodes.
Correct.
You really have to care about the characters in order to want to watch the show.
Exactly.
And I do think they're kind of, they're sort of blank slates in a lot of ways. Even after we've watched them for this whole first season, there's not a lot to hold on to. And the show just feels very shapeless. Like each episode just kind of opens at a random point and closes at a random point, and we haven't really gone anywhere. And it's just spending time with these people isn't really enough. And so it is a disappointment given how great The Wire was.
I mean, New Orleans is a city rich with history. There's a lot of potential there for some very interesting storylines. But I just don't feel like that's really been capitalized on to its fullest extent. I mean, there's a few moments here and there, most of them courtesy of Steve Zahn, who tends to be kind of a walking history guide through a lot of the show.
Right.
But, you know, it's just not – is it worth investing in the whole season? If you haven't already started watching, I'm not sure I'd recommend starting now.
Yeah, I don't know that I would either. I mean, when the show first premiered and I saw, I think, the first three episodes to write a review, I did recommend it because it felt like the sort of thing where it had a lot of potential.
Like it was going somewhere.
Right, like it could go somewhere. And one of the things with a lot of HBO shows, and this is the case with Game of Thrones as well, is that things start very slowly and you have to have patience to sort of get to the point where it builds to something interesting. And I think at the point now, after six episodes, Game of Thrones really has gone somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
Whereas with Tremé, it never got out of kind of first gear. And as I watched the whole first season, I kept thinking this is sort of at the same level that it was after those three episodes that I first saw. And it's still at the point where, like, well, I'm hoping it might take off eventually. And if that hasn't happened, then it's not going to happen. And I think for people who love The Wire, it's maybe worth giving a shot to that first season, because there is a lot of David Simon-y stuff that he does well, and some actors from The Wire who do a good job. But in general,
actors who have been in quite a few of his projects over the years.
Right, right. Yeah.
Homicide.
The Corner, Candy Alexander was in that. Yeah, and he's very good at working closely with actors and getting great performances out of them. But it just overall, I think, kind of doesn't come together the way that we would like it to.
No, it's very middle for me. It's very middle of the road. And I'm not sure I'd recommend one way or the other.
Right, right.
It's personal taste. Game of Thrones, without a doubt.
Yes.
Invest your time. You will not be sorry.
Yeah. So I wonder, too, now this is probably as high profile as Game of Thrones when it launched, was Boardwalk Empire, which is a show that I like but don't love. I feel like with that and Game of Thrones both, they're worth watching. I don't know if they're worth the whole channel, but that was a very prestigious, highly hyped show. Do you think that's in the same league as Game of Thrones?
That's kind of a tough one because I like Boardwalk Empire, and I think I like it the way I do because of Steve Buscemi. I think Steve Buscemi, and I think a lot of people when that show started were very down on him in a lead role, especially as a crime boss.
Right.
I think he's excellent. I mean, I think Steve Buscemi is excellent in this role. So in terms of that part of the show, yes, I would say it's on a league with Game of Thrones. But when the show switches away from what Buscemi is doing and goes into these side stories of some of the other characters, not even close. The show does tend to drag. And I'm not sure, you know, if that's a problem that's going to be fixed in the second season. I hope it is, because I really started to kind of lose interest at the end of the season of Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah. I mean, that was one show where I think I sort of had the opposite reaction to Treme, where after the first handful of episodes that I was able to watch to write a review, I thought, well, this is interesting. It has potential. It seems like it could go somewhere. And then I felt like it actually did. I felt like it improved over the course of that first season, that I got more interested in the characters who seemed less interesting at first, especially Kelly MacDonald's character, who seemed like sort of an annoying whiner on the fringes there and became more central to the story as things went on.
Who has now become about the opposite of that.
Right. Yeah. I think she became a lot more fascinating. And one of the problems with Boardwalk Empire is that it had these very one-dimensional female characters who were all either whores, basically, or whiners. And Kelly MacDonald managed to sort of transcend that, her character. And I think that was really impressive. So I mean, and maybe it's not fair to compare a show where I've seen the whole first season versus one where I haven't, but I would say I like Boardwalk Empire more than Game of Thrones because I feel like it has sort of a wider range of things that it can do at this point. But, I mean, both of those I would definitely recommend watching. And I'm not sure when the second season of Boardwalk Empire is premiering, but it's definitely worth, I think, catching up on that first season before the second one comes.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess for me, it's you know, it's a question of where do you want the show to go. The show is not going where I expected it to, and I was a little let down. I don't think I think the momentum of the beginning of the season was not sustained through the show, which is why I was disappointed. I'll definitely be tuning in next season though.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
I mean, I think that's, you know, those are at least two really strong shows that HBO has right now, and shows that are in their early stages that hopefully can continue and grow and become really fascinating and worth watching. All of these are very serious shows, and there aren't any HBO comedies airing right now, but I wonder, do you have a favorite HBO comedy amongst their current set of offerings?
I wouldn't call any of these a favorite. I mean, I think they're all the top of the bunch for me would be Curb Your Enthusiasm. But to be completely honest, I stopped watching Curb two seasons ago.
Uh-huh.
For me, well, although I did tune in during the Seinfeld episodes because I actually wanted to see where that was going. That was intriguing. For the most part, I feel like the show is kind of stuck in third gear, where it's just the same show every single episode.
Right.
Larry's going to do something incredibly embarrassing. Jeff Garland's going to be bombastic and say something really profane. His wife's going to flip out and call everyone the F word. It just seems like it's just fallen into such a rhythm that there's no surprises for me anymore.
Right.
When this show was first on, I couldn't wait for it to be on. I mean, it's like must see TV every single Sunday, but it for me, it's not that anymore. But that would be at the top of my list because now they're going to New York and there's a possibility that, you know, maybe we'll kind of re-spark the series.
So are you going to watch the next season then?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Because I'm anxious to see if that makes a difference. Also, I saw Ricky Gervais is going to be, you know, in it intermittently. So
is he?
That's intriguing.
Is he going to play himself or is he playing a character?
Good question. Given this show being kind of realistic, he's probably going to play himself.
Yeah.
But we'll see where they go with that. The other one that I watch, much to the chagrin of my wife, is Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
Featuring perhaps the most repellent character ever on television. Not sure why I continue to watch this. It's like watching a train wreck. You just can't look away.
Right.
Apparently, this next one will be the last season.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think I'm not really a fan of Eastbound and Down, but I have to respect the creators in that they've had these really short seasons that tell these complete stories.
Yeah, six episodes.
And like that. Yep. Yeah. And they get to the point now with this third season where they said, you know what? This is the last story that we have to tell. This is the final thing that we want to do. And so they're not going to drag it on. And I mean, that's one of the great things about HBO, too, is that if the creators of a show get to the point where they say, look, this is the end. We're telling our story and our story has come to a close, then that's able to happen. You know, you had Flight of the Conchords where after two seasons they said, you know what, that's it. That's all we got. And that was all that there was. And I loved Flight of the Conchords, but I'm glad they didn't run it into the ground.
Right. And I thought Flight of the Conchords was, again, starting to feel a little repetitious toward the end.
Yeah.
So I was glad to see it go after two seasons. I thought they did a fine job, but
yeah.
Enough was enough. For me, anyway.
Yeah. And I'm not an Eastbound and Down fan. It's definitely a thing.
You and I had this conversation a long time ago about Danny McBride, me asking how long his 15 minutes would last.
Yeah,
I
they keep going.
I had no idea it would last this long. I mean, it's amazing. This guy, I don't know. People seem to like him. I don't get it. To me, it's always...
But you like the show, so you must like something about
it. No. I watch the show because I want to see how much worse it can get. Really, to me, it's kind of like that, you know, the ick factor. Like, you really want to, you know, see how down into the depths the show can go. And sure enough, it surprises me every single time.
I mean, do you mean worse as in, like, the quality of the show? Or
no,
worse
just,
as in, like, what awful things the character
what
can
awful
do?
Things his character's going to do.
Yeah.
So. I you know, I'll watch the third season, but I'm always alone when I watch it. So it's... Not popular in my house.
Yeah, it definitely has a sort of a cult thing going on for it. I'm not really, like, honestly a big fan of any of the comedy that HBO is doing right now. But the one show that kind of grew on me in a weird way was Bored to Death, which and you're shaking your head. So clearly you're not a fan. And I would agree when it first premiered. And again, I saw maybe half of the first season to write a review. I thought, this show is totally lame. It's not funny. It's
and you were absolutely right.
It's trying way too hard. And I don't know if you watched the second season, because that was it, you know. And then when the second season came around,
no, I gave up.
And I wrote, see, this is the thing. I had to watch some. I watched the beginning of the second season because I had to write up a little thing on it, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I thought, you know what? They've worked out a lot of the problems that I had with this show. At first, the main characters are hanging out as a group. They have a nice sort of friend dynamic as opposed to all being off in separate places. There were more plots. I mean, the idea is the guy is a private detective, but he's sort of a crappy, half-hearted private detective. But the episodes actually had little cases that were kind of clever, and there was some good character development. I actually found myself, after I had finished writing what I needed to write, I watched the rest of the whole season because I kind of liked it. It was very surprising to me.
Okay. Well, as someone who gave up in the first season, I promise to watch at least one episode of the third.
I mean, I'm not going to say it's a great show. It's definitely something that I kind of was watching while I was doing other stuff. But I would stop at points and be like, you know, this is pretty funny. And I think that's one of the things, is that a lot of these premium cable comedies, quote unquote, shows like Hung or Entourage are really not funny.
Let's get in briefly to why I dropped HBO in the first place. You just mentioned two of the reasons.
Yeah.
Hung, completely, in my mind, ridiculous. I stuck around for the first season and pretty much gave up mid-second.
Yeah.
Entourage, when is the show going to end?
Right. I mean, thankfully, it is going to end
Talk about a show that's going absolutely nowhere.
Right.
Big Love ended. I didn't even see the finale.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
Right.
I mean, if I had to hear Bill talk about the principal one more time, I was going to shoot myself. True Blood, this has got a rabid fan following, but, you know, for me, I just feel like I feel like a jump the shark thing is happening with this show, and
right.
I just don't know if I care anymore.
Yeah.
I will probably watch when it comes back on, but truly, I could never see the show again and not care. But yeah, I just feel like, and you know, and with other HBO programming, I felt like I wasn't going to miss it at all. That's why I said goodbye. But it's nice to see that, you know, the lineup for this year is shaping up to be semi-must-see TV.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're definitely trying to sort of refocus. And after they had a lot of these long-running, highly acclaimed shows that have ended, that it's been maybe a struggle for them to find something that can be as compelling and as much of a conversation topic as stuff like The Sopranos and Six Feet Under and Deadwood were. And definitely True Blood. I mean, I never really got into True Blood, but that's obviously, as you say, something that has that rabid following.
Oh, yeah.
And it seems like Game of Thrones
doesn't matter what I say.
Right. And it seems like Game of Thrones is on its way to achieving that as well. And I don't know about Boardwalk Empire in terms of that rabid fan following, but it definitely got them a lot of attention and a lot of prestige. So it seems like they're sort of revitalizing themselves. If they can do the same in terms of the comedies, and they did just pick up that show called Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. She's playing the first female vice president, and it's sort of a political satire from the creator of the movie In the Loop, which I actually haven't seen, but was really highly acclaimed and supposed to be very, very, very funny. And I think that's one of the good things. If the comedies can be actually like funny, I think that would really help. So hopefully we'll see a revitalized HBO, and it'll be worth your money as you return as a subscriber.
Well, I mean, I'm looking forward to this year. I have to be honest. I think it's there's some exciting stuff coming down the pike. I want to see Cinema Verite too.
Oh yeah, the HBO original movie that premieres this week as well. Yeah, it's decent. That's not a reason to get HBO. But
well,
if
but,
you have it,
but
you
but
can
it,
watch
but it's
it.
A nice perk of having the channel that occasionally these one offs will come on, like Temple Grandin was
right,
also very
right.
Very
they
well
do
done,
have
so.
They do have high quality sort of miniseries and original movie programming, Mildred Pierce, which I wasn't that crazy about, but certainly.
And the Pacific last year was excellent.
Right,
so.
And there's always things like that that come along. So HBO is definitely, I mean, I think, yeah, if it's ever at a lull, there's always something on the horizon that's worth looking forward to. So that'll do it for this week. Thank you, Ken Miller, for joining me.
No problem. I had fun.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right.